I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us no one can recount to you. Were I to speak of them and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Verse 11. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion, and may all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay. Please pray with me. Father, we confess that we are in need of you to be at work in and among us even now. Our ears are often dull and our hearts are cold. And we cannot see the beautiful truths that we see in your word. And so we ask that you, Holy Spirit, would empower us this morning, that we might draw closer to you, that we might understand who you call us to be as your people in this coming year, that we might know the joy of your salvation in our lives, and that you might use us for your glory. And we come in bold expectation because you are our help and our deliverer. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you're like me, you stand at the end of 2018, wondering where the time has gone. I feel like I say that every year, but perhaps it's just I don't remember fully, but it seems like this year is worse than the year before. Can you all relate? That time is just ticking away at warp speed. And I look back at 2018, and if I think about my life and my faith, it's somewhat of a mixed bag. There's some moments that I look back on and I see progress and I'm hopeful and I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. And there are other places that I look and I am discouraged at how slow I seem to be. And it's often those feelings of regret, those missed opportunities, that compel us to look forward to a new year and make those New Year's resolutions. We write, I'm going to do these things in the coming year. This year will be better than last year. Now, I would imagine in a room this size, with a congregation of this size, that there are at least two groups of people in the room as it relates to New Year's resolutions. Some of you have given up totally on making New Year's resolutions. You look back and you look at all these years where you've written down these things that you're going to do when January comes, and you know that by February they're out the window. If it's your Bible reading plan, you make it to Leviticus and you stop. And so you are cynical and you're over it. You say, I'm not even going to do that anymore. No New Year's resolutions for me. The other group is probably, I'm a little closer to the other group maybe, that no matter how many times I've failed in the past, I am sure that this year will be different. No matter how abysmal my track record is with New Year's resolutions, being it becoming more financially stable or being more fit or faith development, those years I messed up, but this year will be different. And I think that the Bible would have us be somewhat in between those two things. That we would be aware enough to know that we don't have the power and the resources alone to do anything of worth or value. But the picture I see of faith in the scriptures is not one of cynicism. It's not one where we are despondent. Because we believe that God is at work in us and through us to do things for us that we could never do for ourselves. So on this Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, I want us to think together about how we might approach 2019 in a way that we can grow and experience faith development like we would like to know it in this year. I'm not going to give any tips on your diet or your finances. As excited as I would be to see you grow in those areas in the coming year, I think the main thing that we come here this morning hoping for is direction on how we can grow and become more faithful followers of Christ in 2019. So I'm going to offer you four resolutions that you might make in the coming year as it relates to your faith development. I want to read again for you verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 40. Listen carefully. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. David begins Psalm 40 by looking back to a time in his life when he knew that he was desperate. That he did not have the smarts, he did not have the resources, he did not have the abilities at hand to overcome the obstacle that he was facing. So what did he do? He cried out to the Lord. And he says the Lord turned to him and heard his cry. And you would have to be not paying attention to miss the emphasis on God at work in this situation. Did you hear it? I waited, and what happened? He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Psalm 40 is not the reflections of someone who is independent and self-sufficient and assured of his own abilities. If you read all throughout Psalm 40 from beginning to end, we hear the words of a believer who is at his wit's end. And he knows that his only hope for salvation, his only hope for deliverance is in the Lord, his God. As we begin and we prepare ourselves to turn the page and we look to 2019, here's the first resolution I would encourage you to make. I will put my trust in God alone and not in my own resolve or abilities. I will put my trust in God alone and not in my own resolve or abilities. One of the things that we see as we read Scripture is that God has a way of drawing near to those people who know that they are in desperate need of Him. I read 2 Chronicles recently. How many of you have read 2 Chronicles? Anyone? It's one of those books that's often overlooked. But one of the things I find fascinating as I read through 2 Chronicles and the accounts of these various kings is that there is a word for us that oftentimes when they knew they were dependent, when they were seeking God's help and His direction in their lives, things went well. And the moment that they felt like they had the resources necessary to handle it apart from the Lord, things went terribly for them and for the nation. If you're here this morning and you put no hope in your own abilities in the coming year, I have a word of encouragement to you. You are in a great place to experience God at work in your lives in the coming year. The same God who drew David out of the miry pit, Jeremiah out of the cistern, Joseph out of the pit in the wilderness, the same God who used the Apostle Paul, who was not a gifted speaker, to spread the good news of Jesus across the known world, is the same God who is at work in us even now. So if you're here and you don't have any hope in your own abilities to see things through, you're in a really good place if you will be hopeful in the Lord's work and power in and through you in the coming year. And it's a word of warning to those of us who feel overly confident in our own abilities. If we think that we have everything under control, if we think that we are where we need to be to do things in our own power and our own resources, then it's a word of warning to remind us nothing of lasting eternal value will happen in our lives apart from God's gracious work in and through us. So first, I would encourage you to make the resolution to not trust in your own abilities or your own resources, but to trust in God in the coming year. Listen again to what David says beginning in verse 4, and we'll see a couple more things that I would encourage you to resolve in the coming year. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. No one can account to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come, as it is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will. O my God, your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. The second resolution I would encourage you to make as it relates to your spiritual life in the coming year is to say that I will declare who God is and what he has done in my life. I will declare who God is and what he has done in my life. You notice the emphasis there in those verses on David declaring the way that he had seen God's faithfulness in his life in the midst of the congregation. That David's deliverance led him to declare who God is and what he had done in his life. He could not be silent. Praise was the natural outflow when he understood who God is and what he had done in his life. And it's so important for you and for me to follow in David's footsteps here, to look back and to see the ways that we've seen God's faithfulness and his steadfast love and his mercy in our lives, and then to declare that. And there are two groups of people, I think, who suffer if we don't declare who God is and what he's done. The first group are the people in your life who are not yet followers of Christ. The most powerful witness or testimony to God in the life of a non-believer may just be your story of how you have experienced God's power at work in your life in a personal way. They need to know that God is not some figment of our imagination who is closed up in a book. They need to know that our faith is not a dead faith, that we look back to all these things that God has done and then we wait in the interim for what he will do in the future. But we are a people who worship a God who is at work with his people in history now. And if we will just be faithful enough to say, this is who our God is and this is how we've seen him at work in our lives. Perhaps non-believers that God gives you the opportunity to be in relationship with will come to see that our God is a living God. I think of the man born blind in the Gospel of John. You remember that story? Jesus heals him and everybody marvels and they say, is this the same guy that was blind? And he says, yep, that's me. And they say, well, who's Jesus? He says, I don't know. All I can tell you is that I used to be blind and now I can see. His parents, hey, is this your son? Yeah, that's him. How can he see? We're not sure. Ask him. And his living witness and testimony to Christ's power in his life was such a powerful witness to who Jesus was. So this year, proclaim who God is in your life and how you've seen his faithfulness and his mercy at work in your life. The second group that suffers when we are silent are the folks who are gathered in this room today. So many Sundays, there are people who come into this room and they are struggling. It's all that they could do to get up and get dressed and gather with God's people. And they need to be reminded that God is still at work, even if they can't sense it in their own life. To look to your example, to see how God's at work in your life. And then it encourages them that, yes, God is indeed still at work. There have been Sundays in my own life when I've walked through the doors of this church. And be it because of my own sin and disobedience, or through the struggles that are common to each one of us, I have barely brought myself through the doors. And when I could not sing the songs of faith, you sang them. Right? And you encouraged me by your faithful witness and testimony that God is still at work and alive among us. Keep going. So in the coming year, just ask you to be watchful for how God is at work, and then be quick to declare his faithfulness and his goodness in your life. We have no idea who may be touched by our witness to God's faithfulness in our lives if we will just be willing to open our mouths and declare who he is and what he's done in our lives. Third, I want you to make this resolution. I will seek to give God my heart rather than simply going through the motions of religious observance. I will seek to give the Lord my heart rather than trying to go through the motions of religion. David says it so clearly in verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. The beautiful thing about Psalm 40 is that we're reminded that God is not looking for you and for me in 2019 to just go through the motions of religion. He's not looking for us just to show up to church and check it off our list, to place our tithes or our offerings in the offering plate, to read our Bibles this year just so we can check it off and say, we did the Bible reading plan, I'm all in. It's quite possible that you and I could do all of those things and on the outside look as if we have it all together when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, but our hearts could be very far from him. And as I read this psalm this week, I was just reminded anew that God desires not for us to go through the motions, but he wants our heart. And obedience matters, but not obedience for obedience' sake or for us to try to earn something from the Lord, but for us to acknowledge who he is and then offer ourselves to him wholeheartedly. Now, I'll tell you already, that's a scarier thing to do. It's a lot easier, frankly, to say, I'll be at church this many Sundays, and I'll give this much money, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and think that we've had everything compartmentalized, and everything else is up to us. But God wants us to give ourselves fully to him, and to say, every ounce of who I am is offered to you. Lord, use me as you will. So in the coming year, I would encourage you to put your trust fully in God and not in yourself. I would encourage you to be diligent to declare who God is and what he has done in your life, both to non-believers and believers alike. I would encourage you to seek God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, to remember that it's your heart he wants and not just empty obedience. And the last resolution, perhaps the most important, I would encourage you to make the resolution that I will find my worth in Christ and not in my accomplishments. Did you hear that? I will find my worth in Christ and not in my accomplishments in 2019. This Psalm 40 is ultimately not about us. It ultimately points us forward to Jesus. And we see this so clearly in Hebrews chapter 10, where the author of Hebrews takes Psalm 40 and helps us see so clearly about how it is about Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 5. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" Do you hear Psalm 40? First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Did you all hear that? That through Christ, you and I have been made holy once and for all. That in 2019, you and I, if we are in Christ, we are not striving to become something that we could never become in our own power, our own abilities. In 2019, instead, if we would be able to understand who we already are in Jesus and then live into that identity in the coming year, that we come to God not as our taskmaster, we come to God not as that figure in the sky who is documenting all of our rights and our wrongs, our good thoughts and our bad thoughts. But we come to the Lord acknowledging that he is our Father and that we are his children in Christ. And we're going to start living into this identity that we've already been given rather than trying to make a name for ourselves through our own obedience or effort or discipline. I think it would make a drastic difference in how we pursued the Lord if we did it not to earn something, but in light of what we've already been given in Christ. Next week, later this week, I'm traveling to Statesville, North Carolina. I was talking to Dan Pickett this morning and learned that's where he's from. It's a metropolis. It's a very big place that I'll be traveling to, not far from my hometown in South Carolina, to perform a wedding ceremony. And as I stand before couples, every time the Lord has given me opportunity to perform a wedding ceremony, he's given me this privilege. One of the things that I always tell the couple is that I have no idea what your married life will bring. I have no idea. There are probably going to be moments of joy that you can't even now begin to imagine. And there are probably going to be moments of heartache and devastation in your married life that even now you can't yet imagine. And I tell them that the reason that we have hope for them and their marriage is that God will be with them every step of the way. I have no idea what 2019 will hold for you. I have no idea what 2019 will hold for me. But the thing that I'm confident for as we enter this new year is that God will be with us. If we will trust in who he is and his power at work within us, we can be hopeful. You see, we don't make New Year's resolutions according to the secular calendar only. We are also in the middle of our Christian calendar, and we've just celebrated what? Christ coming to be with us. God is with us as we approach this new year. If we will be faithful to declare who he is and how we've seen him at work in our lives, if we'll not get caught up in obedience to rules and rituals, but we'll give ourselves fully to him and remember who we are in Christ, I think we have reason to be very hopeful for the coming year. So I invite you to make at least a few resolutions. Your finances may be a mess. You may be eating donuts by February. Your exercise plan may be through the window. I don't know what this year holds for you, but we have reason to have hope that we will grow closer to Christ and that he will be pleased to use us for his glory in the coming year. Will you pray with me?